This is exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready, Scotty?
I'm ready, Curdy B, to laugh and laugh and laugh.
Japan's millennia-old Naked Man Festival ending because of population decline.
No way.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Disappointing. Well, Curdy B and I are going to let it all hang out on
yes.
a very zany, wacky, and fun episode of the Bananas Podcast.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, welcome to yet another episode of the grand old podcast Bananas.
I think we're in a fun mood today, and I'm all for it, because I love having a good time as much as anybody, except that gentleman right there, the one and only Kurt Brownoler.
That's sitting across from me, banana boy number two, self-named Scotty Landis.
That's true. And international bananimals. Mm-hmm. We have so many. We just got a message from Spain. We got another message from Germany. If you are listening to the Bananas Podcast
yes.
anywhere around the world, and maybe you've never said hi to us before, and maybe you don't have Instagram, maybe you do, you can always reach out to us at thebananaspodcast@gmail.com or thebananaspodcast on Instagram. Let me know where you are. I want to know where people are. We had a lot from Brazil. We have some in Finland. We have Israel. We have everywhere. I just want to know where you are. If you send me your address over our Gmail, maybe I'll send you a postcard. I think I'm going to make some Bananas postcards and just send them internationally.
Mm-hmm. Nice, buddy.
I want to reach out. I like to know who's listening around this big wet planet that we call Earth.
I just saw Scotty Landis in person, and I gave him the
poster.
Most beautiful. I mean, this poster is above and
beyond. It is.
Kurt Fierla did it. Is it Fierla?
I don't know him, but I know that I'm going to work with this dude forever. Because it's beautiful. Thank you for that wonderful gift.
Yeah, Kurt Fierla. It is Kurt Fierla who designed our new poster for our new tour poster. And guys, these posters are going to be for sale at all of our shows this year, which so far is Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Madison, Minneapolis. And I just found a really nice printer for them on really nice stock. Mm-hmm. It's going to look good. I'm very excited about it.
We'll sign them. We'll say hey after the shows. That's what we do.
We're
very interactive.
That's the whole point of the podcast, hanging out.
High fives, low fives. I, with all the rain we've had in LA, I'm like, I got to take advantage of this somehow. So I bought a packet of Big Max pumpkins, which are one of the biggest breeds of pumpkins. They grow up to 300 pounds. And I was just wandering around throwing them across the street in like near my mailbox on the hillside, everywhere I could. And now I've forgotten where, I think I planted 12 seeds. I think I've forgotten where 9 of the 12 giant pumpkins are going to be. So I just can't wait. I'm going to keep it updated. I'm going to post on Instagram. Once they weigh 100 pounds, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to give one to your kids for Halloween to paint, and then I'll haul it away. I won't leave it over at your place.
Oh, my God. I mean, I have no idea. I have no. I mean, you'd have to. Yeah, that's such a question. If pumpkins are, will they grow in Southern California? I have no idea.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. I mean, we will know soon.
Oh, we will know. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We will know very soon. But I'm excited. Big Macs, I'm going to name them all. I'm going to name all of them. Just, yeah. Maybe I'll start their own Instagram for those buddies. We'll see if anything even sprouts.
Wild Big Macs.
This is just looking forward. In 2024, we're looking forward.
We're looking forward, folks. You want to hear about it, Scotty?
Yeah, this sounds fun, and I'm bummed it's going away.
Well, there's a lot of information.
We would have done it.
This was sent in by two people, like seconds away from each other. So I'm giving them both a shout out. Kate Awake and Derek Clark.
Kate and Derek.
They sent it in on our Instagram, The Bananas Podcast.
The Bananas Podcast or bananaspodcast.com.
This was in CNN.
That's real ish.
Written by Chris Lau and Hamari Siemens.
Those two together? Lau Siemens? That does a body good. Best in the biz.
In near freezing water temperatures and wearing nothing but white loincloths, throngs of men wrestle one another in a bid to claim a talisman during Japan's Somen Sai Festival, more famously known as the Naked Man Festival.
Sounds fun.
I know it's crazy. The photo is insane. They're all really going crazy. They're teeny tiny. These thongs are teeny tiny that they're wearing.
I see.
They're cupping and then they're up the butt and they're definitely naked. But
that's what a thong does. It's cupping and it's up the butt. That's like the two main requirements for a thong these days.
But the event said to have run for over 1,000 years.
Can't end it.
At the secluded Kokusajiki Temple was held for the last time on Saturday, becoming the latest Japanese tradition to fall victim to the country's aging population crisis. In an online post, organizers of the festival conceded they had been unable to find enough young participants to alleviate the pressures placed on aging locals who are unable to keep up with the demands of the ritual. The decision is due to the aging of individuals. That's blah, blah. Japan's population has been in steady decline since its economic boom of the 1980s, with a fertility rate of 1.3, far below the rate of 2.1 required to maintain a stable population. Deaths have also outpaced births in Japan for more than a decade, posing a growing problem for leaders of the world's fourth largest economy. I did not know
that. Not bad.
They now face a ballooning elderly population and shrinking workforce and a challenge to fund pensions and health care as demand for the aging population surges. Bananas is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. You know, folks, since I've started going to therapy, I've found something fascinating, which is like I'll go into therapy being like, I know why I did this thing. And then after talking it through, I'm like, oh, my God, I did it for completely other reasons. It's like fascinating to me. And I think therapy is so interesting because of that. And BetterHelp is here to help. Okay. BetterHelp is an entirely online. It provides affordable, personalized therapy to help you get to know yourself better. And I think that's what we all want, right? We want to know ourselves better so that we can help ourselves better and so that we can process some of the stuff that might be holding us back. And that's what I think therapy is so useful for. And that's why BetterHelp is, it can help in so many different ways. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bananas today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/bananas. This is another thing. It looks like they hop in a freezing cold lake and pour water over themselves as well.
I mean, it sounds like a great time. We'll send some people over there.
I know. The Somen Sai Festival is one of three major Naked Man or Hadaka Matsuri festivals held in the country. It took place annually on the seventh day of the Lunar New Year at the Kokusajiki Temple in the northeastern prefecture of Iwate. They're giving me a lot of words.
You're doing very well.
As popular among tourists wanting to catch a glimpse of the ritual as it was among locals wishing for a prosperous year ahead, attracted an estimated 3,000 visitors, which is pretty great. It's a celebration of a bountiful harvest, prosperity, good health, and fertility. I love a tradition like this. A fundoshi, and a pair of white socks called tabbies. That's what they wear. They run into the Yamachigawa River to cleanse their body for preparation before they then just kind of tussle. They're just naked tussling.
Just wrestling around like naked guys do.
And then there's like a priest who's just like throwing out talismans, and then they're just going crazy trying to get the talismans. I love it. Now, I was wondering about it. I did a little more digging, Scotty.
Thank goodness.
Because usually we're surface. We're surface.
We never dig deep.
I dug a little bit deeper, and I
found... You blew the leaves off the yard. We're looking at the grass.
And I found this. So that was from February 20th. We go back to just January 24th, and on the Independent, we have Japan allows women to participate in Naked Man Festival for first time in its 1,250-year history.
Wow.
Surprise, surprise, they let ladies in and then immediately end the festival.
Yeah, they're not canceling Carnival, that's for sure. Mardi Gras is not going anywhere.
This is such a crazy idea. And also, this was, to be honest, to be fair, it is a different one.
Sure, there's different stuff.
This is at the Koni Maya Shrine. So it actually went really well. But they, you know, the women do not participate in the tussle where it's just like, it's, I don't know, maybe like it looks like a couple hundred men just like mosh pitting towards a talisman that's thrown by a dude from a like a rafters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they don't do that part, but they do their own things where they like wrestle with each other. And that's what I say. If you're running out of men to do something, just allow women. Why not allow women all the time? It's very crazy.
I know. I mean, I get also shocking that women would want to even attend this event.
I'm so sure there's not them. A lot. They're just like, I don't need to naked tussle, boys. But there are,
that's fun. I mean, that's a weird one. I mean, I get it, but it's like, is the main thing, also, I'm going to just have to Google this. Where are people having more babies than elderly or dying? Who has the highest birth rate in the world? Because I know America's their concern. I know Japan's had it for a long time, but I think China's concerned now too, because everybody's only having one child.
Okay. You know, it's Niger.
Niger's doing it.
Mm-hmm. It is 6.73 children per woman. Holy cow.
What?
That's crazy, because that means there's some women who don't have any children. So that means most women have more than seven children. That's fucking crazy.
That would be cool.
Who's next?
If African countries just have the future workforce, so they become the most dominant economies in the world, because they're the only ones that have young people to
I know, right?
I don't know, work for the robots or whatever.
South Korea has the world's lowest.
Really?
Yeah, the three countries with the lowest are interesting. They're all in Asia. Hong Kong, Macau, Singapore, South Korea, and Taiwan have the lowest low fertility.
I'm too dumb to know why all these things are going on the way they are, but that is interesting.
Yeah, and all of the ones, the top four, are all in Africa. Niger, Angola, Benin, and Mali.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I guess this all kind of makes sense. Like, they have wet t-shirt contests, or they used to, in the 70s and 80s and stuff, in every ski movie and beach bar and Pensacola Beach. But you never really get the old wet linen pants competition, you know? That never really took off.
And now,
nobody really showed up for that one.
I do appreciate that they have it in Japan. Speaking of which, Scotty, I happen to have been doing... See, I'm agentless currently, so I'm booking all my own touring.
You're doing some meetings? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I kind of love it. I kind of love just being like, this is the weekend, I want to do something. And then just like, where do I want to go? And like looking around, as opposed to just like taking kind of what's offered.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
And so I found there is a comedy club in Key West. I have put an email in asking about it, because I figure if we're going to play anywhere in Florida, it's got to be Key West. I don't know their size. 100%
my answer is yes.
Yes, I know. You are. I was talking to my friend Bobby about this. And
look at my thing.
Oh my God, that's crazy. What?
I don't know what I did.
What did you do? Why doesn't
like mine? A double thumbs up, and I just got on my Zoom. It just went full fireworks black screen.
Full fireworks behind him.
All right.
Do it again. Do double thumbs up.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not working 100%. Anymore. 100%. People listening, people like doing their dishes are like, I don't like this podcast anymore. They're talking about what the dumb one is seeing. Key West, love Key West. What a cross-section of these grand states that used to be united.
Right?
Gay men, drag queens, Harley riders, hardcore far-right wing nuts. Everybody just getting together to drink margaritas, watch dogs walk on trapeze, and drive golf carts drunk. It's perfect. And great brunches. Really good brunches down there. Dude, the answer is yes. Let's get a drag queen as our guest. Let's do it.
Yeah, right?
Holy smokes.
I would love to do that. Speaking of, you just mentioned, first off, my friend Bobby was like, I told him the idea, and he was just like, and I was like, this would be perfect for banana. He's like, Scotty Landis is Key West as a person.
Correct. That is true.
So I was.
Well, except for the wing nut part. Everything else, we all paint with a lot of colors.
Have you? So speaking of, Key West is like a perfect, like kind of microcosm buddy. Of America. Did you see on the Grammys? When Luke Combs and Tracy Chapman sang Fast Car together.
I saw that clip. Yes, I did. I didn't watch the Grammys, but I saw that
clip. I just watched that specific clip. First off, it was beautiful.
Yeah, I wanted to cry. Exactly.
I wanted to cry too. It was like...
It's so emotional.
Also, when you're watching it, you're like, this is why America fucks. Like, this is why America is awesome. Like,
cool, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The fact that this song that was written, whatever, 30 years ago by a black lesbian could then be taken up by a white country singer and then that they could do it together and, like, that their experiences, like, meshed so well together and they understood each other. It was amazing. I was like, this is cool. And I think he did a good job of, like, giving her... Like
he did at the end. He made it very much that she wrote that beautiful song.
Yes!
Also, she gets paid. She gets so paid. She's going to make more money than him on this.
But there's kids who didn't even know that that was her song to begin with.
Of course not. Children don't know anything. I didn't know anything. I thought Paul Newman made salad dressing. You know, you get older, you learn things as you go. Also, every time I hear that the Tracy Chapman version, there was a hip-hop song called Sometimes I Rhyme Slow by Nice and Smooth, and every time it starts, I'm like, oh, I hope it's Nice and Smooth, and then now I'm just pumped for Tracy to get paid again.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, that made me think of that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm down. I would love to do a Key West show. That sounds so fun, and Florida, like I always say, it's a fun house inside of a haunted house. Other way, if we go northeast, here's a real quickie. This is a little bite-sized story sent in by Robert Woodbury, who sends in a lot of good stories. Thank you, Robert. This is for our Maine bananimals, maybe our Vermont ones, possibly our Massachusetts ones. This was on 95.7 FM, and Jason Stewart wrote this.
Mm.
He's asking the big question, is the pine tree... on the new Maine license plates, flipping us the bird.
Jason, that is why you are the best in the biz. You ask the big questions, and we need to know. Tell me, Scotty.
Any Maine, well, I don't know. I don't live in Maine, but if we have, I know like Zephyr Shaved Ice, that they're our friends. They make the Bananimal Shaved Ice up there. If you live in Maine and you have a new license plate, take a photo and send it to us. You don't have to show us all, you know, if it's a vanity plate and you want us to laugh and laugh and laugh, send it. But we want to know, is the pine tree on the main license plate flipping us the bird? I hope so. And apparently this isn't the first time something like this has happened. A few years ago, there's a Paul Bunyan statue on Main Street in Bangor, Maine, and it looked like it was flipping you the bird. So maybe Maine isn't always up to... sweetnesses.
All right, I'm looking here.
Wells.
I'm trying to see. Where would it be?
The new one. It says at the very tippy top, it's
it's in
complete disregard to your feelings, like saying, hey, I'm here, and there ain't one single thing you can do about it. Kurt, what's your vote? Middle finger or no middle finger?
I gotta get closer. Everything is it's so far away. Oh, you can get one without the tree.
Well, who would do that?
I don't know.
A bonehead maneuver.
It looks a lot like a middle finger. It just looks like this, like in a abstract way, but very much a woo. I say
name
yes.
Name bananimals, take a picture. Flip us off, take a picture. Tag us in your stories. We'll share it in our stories. And everybody listening all around the world, where it's in Niger, where they're having so many babies, or South Korea, where they hate having sex. Don't know if that's true. We'll share it with the world. Here's a real story. Emily Fabian sent this in. I mentioned this at the end of the great episode with Lacey Mosley. It was so fun. Eavesdropping husband made over $1 million after listening to his wife's phone calls.
Yes. Yes.
Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
This was on BBC.com, written by that swinging BBC staff. The husband of a British Petroleum BP employee has been charged with insider trading in the U.S. following claims that he overheard details of calls made by his wife while working from home.
This, I mean, what a bad move.
What an insane.
What a stupid move. All of it is public record. There's no way you're getting
so
away with it.
It's easy to trace.
There's no way you're getting away with it.
Well, there is a way. If you write it down with a pen and paper and then tell somebody else at a bar that you're friends with and go, you should invest in some of this stuff. But if you're just doing it from the same IP address, it, I mean,
but even if you do that at a bar, you tell a friend, do this, how, and he makes $1.8 million. How do you transfer $1 million to yourself without like setting up offshore accounts and doing all this other illegal shit? Like you're immediately down like this insanely slippery slope.
Yeah. You open a Froyo place that doesn't make Froyo. It's all a front. You just crank out moolah. You and I one time were in Brooklyn. There was just a hot dog place. And we were like, we have never seen anybody in this business ever. And we were like, it's a front with no back. It was just, there's no back. It was just, they built it and they were like, let's just not even make it a business. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission alleged that Tyler Luden made $1.76 million in illegal profits.
It's crazy.
Ooh, that's a lot of fake froyo.
That's a lot of money.
The regulator claimed Mr. Loudon heard several of his wife's conversation about BP's takeover of Travel Centers of America and bought shares in the firm. BP has declined to comment. Of course they did.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to do with this shit. The SEC said, we allege that Mr. Loudon took advantage of his remote working conditions and his wife's trust to profit from information that he knew was confidential. His wife, a mergers and acquisitions manager at BP.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I mean, literally, it is her job. She oversees the takeover.
This is so
bad.
What
a fucking idiot.
I know. The SEC said Mr. Loudon purchased, you know, a discreet 46,450 shares in Travel
Centers. I've
just
become
stock.
Very interesting in TNA Travel Centers.
Oh, yeah. How interested? Well, 46,450 shares worth interested. I'm more of a Buc-ee's guy. You know that. I love Love's. Love's is my favorite travel center.
Is it really?
Love's rules. Clean bathrooms. They clean hourly. Mm-hmm. They say hello when you walk in, and they got that chewy ice that I can't get enough of. Following the announcement, Travel Center share price of BP acquisition rose 71%, and Mr. Loudon allegedly immediately sold all of his new bought shares for a huge profit. Now, here's where it gets what I would consider double bananas. Divorce. In a complaint by the regulator during deal negotiations between Travel Centers and BP in 2022, Mr. Loudon of Houston, Texas, and his wife worked from home offices within 20 feet of each other. As a result, they frequently overheard and witnessed each other's daily work-related conversations and video conferences. She also worked on the deal when the couple stayed in a small Airbnb in Rome. These two were living a cool life. Mr. Loudon confessed his wife about buying the Travel Center shares after financial industry regulatory authority began asking questions about the BP deal and who was in the know. His wife, who was stunned by this revelation, reported the trading to her supervisor. So the wife told on him.
Yes, thinking that that would be the right thing to do, right?
Yes.
That's what I would think. I would think, okay, just come clean. This is, you were stupid, but it has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
And then
costing her, it's putting her career in jeopardy. He said he wanted to make enough money so that she didn't have to work long hours anymore.
Well, don't, well, he succeeded because tell him what happened, Scotty.
Well, they terminated her employment.
That's a lot of, that's a big cutback on hours for her.
Yeah, she's got that. She's sleeping in. She's sleeping in. According to the regulator's complaint, Mr. Loudon's wife moved out of the house and ceased all contact with him in June. She initiated divorce proceedings.
Ooh, wow.
Bad decisions. It's crazy when adults have to face bad decisions or bad consequences for their bad decisions.
But it's like, that's the craziest part is like, it's a person who has access to $46,000 just hanging out. He just has $46,000. It means it, on some level, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe he's like a, he's just been giving it. But I mean, it feels like if you have that much money, you're smart enough to have accumulated that much money and dumb enough to not think that all of this is not going to immediately result in you going to jail or something else.
And yes, I mean, of course it's wrong. And yes, he could have bought 5,000 shares and booked another little trip to Rome. He would have gotten away with it.
Yes.
But he went whole hog.
How many shares did he buy?
46,450.
No, what I mean, that's how many shares he bought. So that means it's more than $46,000. He probably spent like $100,000 or something.
Or maybe $500,000. I don't know what it was, but it went up 71%. He made 1.76. So I'm sure our math nerd listeners are like, it's this many, guys. I used to do this totally different, but the same. I used to have, and you know this because you were my buddy around this time, but in New York, I think a lot of my first jobs were the result of me not blacking out when we would drink until 4 a.m.
That's a lot of your jobs were a result of that?
Correct.
Okay.
And I think my own sort of insider trading took place in the East Village usually after all the stand-up shows. And I can remember two jobs distinctly where all the comics would go out. And, you know, everybody's buying around. You'd buy a round of beers or I'd buy a round of shots. Or we were all going out because we didn't have any money, but we were all together. So, and then all of a sudden it's 2 a.m. You go, you want to get one more? And then it's 3 and then it's 4. And you're still going. And I can remember two jobs specifically where somebody around 3 a.m. was drunk, a comic, and they would be like, don't tell anybody, but MTV's going to buy a pilot. We pitched it yesterday. And I'd be like, oh, really? And they would explain the whole thing to me. And then I could tell that they had no idea. They were blackout. They were just in another state of being. Uh-huh. And then I would start preparing jokes and bits and desk pieces. And then when I would run into that person again, sober, a few days later, I would say, if you ever want to work on anything together, I think I have some stuff for you. And they would go, actually, we sold a pilot a few days ago to MTV. And I got hired as the head writer on one of those pilots.
Oh, I know which one that is.
Mm-hmm. Based on that person not remembering that they told me when they were blackout drunk. And I did it again about a year later when, like, they were trying to hold it in. And it's that thing. It's like, it's what alcohol does. They spilled their beans.
Loose lips.
To a guy drinking just as hard, but who could remember exactly. And I would, like, ride home on the F train at 4:30 a.m. and go, like, okay, I'm going to write a couple sketches that fall into that wheelhouse and email them about something else. And it was my insider trading.
It was how
I got ahead. I didn't make mistakes. I retained all the information. This is pre-smartphones, too, so I wasn't even, like, jotting notes down. I was just like, in 3 days, reach out and say, we should work on something together. And they would go, awesome. Let's do it.
Oh, my God. I love that, whatever, 4 years into this podcast, and I'm still learning new things about you, Scotty Landis.
That's how I break in. Whenever people's like, hey, how did you break in? I want to be like, well, I socialized really well for 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah. You were just always hanging out.
Yeah, I was always around. I remember after, like, I took your improv 101 just to get to know you and impress you. And after, like, the third class, you're like, hey, man, you want to go get a beer? And we went to a place on the far west side, like, Siberia? Was there a bar called Siberia?
Sure was.
In Antarctica? Oh,
was it all red? Was it all red lighting? And it had like a big hole in the middle of it that you could see downstairs into another floor?
Yes.
That was the second Siberia. The first Siberia was inside a fucking subway station. Oh, so you would go down into a subway station, and then right before you got to the turnstiles, there was just a door, and you would go through the door, and it was this like two-room like bar, all red lighting, all Russian themed, and bands would play there. It was the most wonderful and amazing place I had ever experienced up until then.
You know, and this is going to sound like old dinosaur man with a 9-foot gray beard, but like now because of Instagram and stuff like that spreads so fast to keep that shit secret for even more than two nights is like virtually impossible.
I know.
It's such a shame that old secret New York is like gone.
It is.
Wow.
Bye.
That's
bye.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, you took me there and like you and I just hung out and drank for a few hours and I was like, okay, I think this guy's going to remember me. And but I remember going to that bar and being like, okay, maybe this plan's working too.
That's pretty great.
It paid off 15 years later. So all right, long game, the long con.
All right, you ready for one? I'll tease it and then we'll go into a thumbs up.
I would love that.
I call it thumbs up now.
Let's call it thumbs up.
Shout outs are called thumbs up now.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
That, and also, I'll forget, so please remind me.
Thumbs ups.
AIs get better at math if you tell them to pretend to be in Star Trek.
Well, sure, that all adds up. All right, I got some thumbs ups.
Yeah.
First, I got to give my own thumbs up to Andy Tate at the Let's Not Meet podcast, who was so kind to let me on and read a couple stories. We have a lot of crossover between our podcast and his podcast.
Yes.
But I really need to shout out the co-producer of that podcast, who is a bananimal, who reached out to me 2 years ago about potentially doing that. Her name is Jennifer Hollywood.
Okay.
And Jennifer, you're getting the double thumbs ups from me because she followed up with me 2 years later or whatever it was.
What?
And I had a great time. And thanks to all the Bananimals who wrote so many nice messages to us about that episode. It was really fun to do.
Yay.
It was nice, right? Wasn't that cool?
Yes.
Maeve KC in Spain, an international Bananimal. I always love the name Maeve. Wants to shout out her best friend since middle school, Joanne.
Uh-huh.
Joanne started her own digital marketing company that I looked up. It's very nice. It's called Digital Hummingbirds.
Nice.
You can find this so-called amazing Joanne at Digital Hummingbirds on Instagram. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
And hey, Maeve, or hola. Kate wants to shout out her partner, Vinny, who started streaming. Did I do this one? I don't think so. I'm going to do it again, even
I don't
if
think
I did.
So.
Thumbs ups. Kate wants to thumbs ups her partner, Vinny, who started streaming as a horror gamer on Twitch. I know what Twitch is. I used to watch your stand-up on Twitch.
Oh, my God. That's right. We
had a Twitch comedy
show during the pandemic.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And recently, so Vinny made it to what's called affiliate, which means he's unlocked all kinds of special features and his followers can subscribe to him monthly.
Oh,
it takes a ton of work to get to that level as a gamer streamer on Twitch or as a streaming gamer on Twitch. So if you enjoy watching Twitch streamers, especially people that play video games and scary games, you can follow and subscribe at WinterXWarlock.
Nice.
That's a pretty good name.
Yes, 100%.
Let's do a couple sweetie pie ones.
I got one while you're looking.
Oh, yeah, do it.
I'm just shouting out Dia Doom Dinero on Instagram.
Yes, thumbs her up.
She requested that if she dies before I do, that I go to her funeral and go up to the mic very seriously and say, "Burners." And then
you
walk
have
out.
To do that.
And I said,
you
no problem. Just let me know when you die.
I'll have the yellow rental Mustang GT convertible parked just outside the graveyard. And you can just run before the family can attack you. Okay, I'll do two more. Okay. Rachel Robinson wants to shout out or wants to thumbs up her husband, Lee, who hates other podcasts she listens to, but does ask for bananas when they go on long car
rides. Right.
He's a bro animal. He's a banana animal.
Right on.
We love the husbands that hate true crime and love bananas. You're all welcome. Come see us in Chicago. Lee got a double hip replacement this week.
Whoa, whoa. I didn't know we had two hips. I thought it was just one piece. That's amazing.
We got two hip. Double hip replacement this week, and Rachel wants to say to Lee that I love you, and I can't wait until we can take long walks with together without pain.
Yes.
That's pretty. That's beautiful.
I love that.
And last but not least, we're going to thumbs up the great and wonderful bananimal Julia. Julia is thumbs upping herself and bananas giving us a thumbs up too. She had a miscarriage and lost her grandmother.
I'm so sorry.
Around the same time.
Oh my god.
And needed a pick me up, so she completed Yoga with Adrian's 30 days of yoga and a dry January, and she feels so much better.
Oh good.
She says, sorry Scotty, I couldn't do the full dry 69. You're absolved.
You're
very absolved. But good for you for doing one. We love Yoga with Adrian. We tried to get her on bananas. She's the busiest woman in sports entertainment.
We should try again.
We'll try again.
Let's try again.
She's
so good. Anybody has an Adrian hookup.
We love Yoga with Adrian.
Yeah.
But congrats on a dry January. And also, Julia, just congrats on making two super healthy choices to feel better about what's going on in your life.
Congratulations.
Banana of the week, I think, Julia.
Oh, banana of the week, 100%.
There we go.
Double thumbs up to you.
Julia, thanks for all the thumbs up. You can send your thumbs ups to the Bananas Podcast at gmail.com.
It's good and dumb.
It's so dumb. I'm all in. We're thumbs up.
All right, here it is.
Yeah, buddy.
AIs get better at math if you tell them to pretend to be in Star Trek. This was in the New Scientist. I just found this while I was reading the news.
That's fun.
Let's see. Instructing an AI chatbot to answer questions as if it were in the TV show Star Trek seems to improve its mathematical ability, although no one is exactly sure why.
Great.
Oh, no.
Is it fake? Did you get duped?
No, it's making... If New Scientist is trying to get me to subscribe to it.
Kurt, I'll jump in. If you can't get it, I found it
same
thing. I did. I found it on Business Insider, written by Marianne Gounod. AIs are more accurate at math if you ask them to respond as if they were all a Star Trek character. The art of speaking AI chatbots is continuing to frustrate and baffle people. A study attempting to fine-tune prompts fed into a chatbot model found that, in one instance, asking it to speak as if it were on Star Trek dramatically improved its ability to solve grade school level math problems. Quote, it's both surprising and irritating that trivial modifications to the prompt can exhibit such dramatic swings in performance. The study authors, Rick Battle and Teha Golapudi, Teha Golapudi said at software firm VMware in California. The study first reported by New Scientist was published on February 9th, a server where scientists can share preliminary findings before they're validated by careful scrutiny from their peers. Machine learning engineers Battle and Golapudi set out to expose that AI models... what if you made them a Trekkie? Instead, they were trying to figure out if they could capitalize on the positive thinking trend, which I didn't know that was a trend.
I didn't know that it was.
People attempting to get the best results out of chatbots noticed that the output quality depends on what you ask them to do, and it's not really clear why. So, like, if you ask them to do something, there's a myriad of factors influencing the performance of language models. The concept of positive thinking has emerged fascinating and surprisingly influential.
Yeah, so it's interesting that, like, I was reading, the article I read was, like, they're, like, basically the way these large language models works is it's a series of weights and measures, and you can adjust them by giving it different types of prompts. So what they were trying to do in the study was find out what prompts, how you should speak to a large language model to get the most accurate information. So they would actually ask the model to create its own prompt. And it created, so that's the craziest part.
Yeah,
that
then
it created the imagine you are a Star Trek captain and then ask the question. So that was a creation from the actual language model to give to itself. And it actually did work in giving more accurate like math answers. And that's the craziest thing is that our whole future is just going to be like you're going to know things and you're going to have no idea how in any way. Because you're going to be
already
told,
there, brother. I don't know how I know shit. When people are like, how do you know that? I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I sometimes wish I didn't. He had said that they incur, basically on this Business Insider, it says it's not what you ask the AI model to do, but how you ask it to act while doing it that influences the output.
Wow.
They designed and encouraged the AIs. So these people encourage their AIs with things such as, quote, this will be fun. So they told the AI, this will be fun.
What? And that changed it?
Yeah. And then they also said, take a deep breath and think carefully. Isn't
Are
this
you
crazy?
And that also said, worked? Quote,
yes, it worked. It worked. The better the output, the more successful the prompt was deemed to be. And this seemed to have worked. And they even included one that said, quote, you are as smart as ChatGPT. So they're complimenting these AI, like, I don't know, children doing their homework, dude. And it's working.
Oh, my God. At a certain point, if this is the... at a certain point, if everything we have to do to interact with it and everything that it's spitting out mimics a human in all ways, at what point there's no differentiation? Do you know what I mean? That you have to speak to it, like, kindly and nicely?
Yeah. Yes. The nicer you talk to
the
AI,
better
the
result.
Better it performs. That's what this is saying. I don't know if it's fully through, but yeah, it says it shows how bizarre these systems' processes are and how little we even know about how they work. I mean, what are we doing?
It's so...
Pull the plug right now. Please, God, stop. Pull the plug. Shake the Etch-A-Sketch.
It's crazy.
Let's start over.
We're going to... Scotty and I and two of our friends, Robin Rich, are going to go see Dune 2 on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
And Rob loves using the image generating AI to like just send out the most insane images. And he sent one of himself like in Dune where, and I was like, do all of us. And then he said, and they were pretty good. They were pretty good of like all of us wearing Dune outfits.
Yes.
But then there was one version of you that looked like a kid who had gotten into the candy for 10 years.
I think I know what internet photos. There was an era where I might have been hitting the old Tita sodas a little hard. That one, yeah. I looked like Buzz from Home Alone. I was like,
it was so awesome. But in full like
Fremen gear.
Fremen Sandwalker gear. It's so funny.
It's fine with me. Yeah, he would have gotten eaten first. That sandworm would have chowed. He would have been full. He would just burp me back out. Oh, man.
All right.
I got a camping one for you.
You know I love it.
Alex Hartley sent this in. Alex, thank you very much. Alex sends good stories. This was in The Guardian. That's real. Written by Stephen Morris. I think we've done quite a few Stephen Morris stories back.
The name sounds familiar.
He is best in the biz. Hampshire glamping site told to close after complaints about loud sex and bad singing.
Told to close? By like,
close.
All right, give it to me. I'm not asking any more questions. I'm listening.
Yeah. In 2024, we listen. It was billed as a peaceful glamping retreat designed to provide visitors to the New Forest with a taste of life's simple pleasures, a perfect romantic getaway or family break. But Secret Garden Glamping in Lymington, Hampshire, has been ordered to close after neighbors complained about late-night parties, noisy sex, and blaring karaoke sessions that featured delusional versions of the song Islands in the Stream.
Wait, no.
That sentence is incredible.
I don't even under delusional versions.
Versions of the song islands in the stream. He comes back around. The cool thing about Stephen Morris and the reason he's the best typer in the biz is he'll tie it up.
He's teasing us.
Nice little bow.
And bringing it back.
Planning officers ruled the garden glamping site, which backs up to their properties, caused a harmful level of disturbance to the neighbors. Liz Fay, the owner of Secret Garden Glamping, set up two tents named Flora and Belle in the garden of her three-bedroom semi-detached house without planning permission.
Whoa.
Visitors who were impressed, one describing it as a, quote, little gem in the heart of Lymington. After 4 years, she applied for retrospective planning permission to New Forest District Council, but neighbors expressed concerns about the site. Mel Sims, 51 years of age, said, "I live directly behind the garden. I bought this house last year thinking it was a quiet cul-de-sac. The noise from the garden and field in the summer is too much. Often past midnight, there is music, loud chat, sex and thin tents we all awkwardly hear, and swear."
Okay. All right.
So Mel's saying that she's hearing both boinking and doinking and bad words. Another neighbor, Daniel Wells,
said... To be honest, she does have a big microphone with like with like one of those big satellite dishes pointed at it because she's interested, but...
I hate this.
she has to go out. I have to go and put the headphones on every morning and it is disgusting.
How am I supposed to sleep when I'm so turned on? Another neighbor, Daniel Wells, said, "Socializing continues through the working week, disturbing sleep for myself and my wife and our son, whose bedroom is at the back of the house. Most upsetting, perhaps, is that on several occasions, we have had to close the window to block out the sound of a couple engaging in acts of the sexual nature."
Wow.
How British.
How old is that son, I wonder? If that son is 12, it's a dream come true for him. He's just like, this is... amazing.
It certainly is exciting. which the fabric walls of a tent clearly do not and did not contain. Here's where Stephen Morris just serves it up hot. Quote, "There was a karaoke machine there for a time." I can deal with people having sex. That sound, I'll laugh, you know.
Hilarious.
But karaoke?
No.
Boy, it better be.
No.
You got to get me in the right mood to get me to enjoy a karaoke night.
To hear other people doing karaoke and you have nothing to do with them, it's maybe the worst sound in the world.
It is.
It's weird. Next to like a food disposal, where something plastic is stuck in it, and nails across a chalkboard, I would say.
Karaoke is weird because if it's really bad, it's great. Like, if somebody's terrible, it's great. And if somebody can really sing, like if Celine Dion gets up, there you go, this is amazing. And then kind of everybody in between is annoying.
Yeah.
And I think the point of karaoke is for everybody in between. But I like the people that are so bad that you're like, they needed this. This person needed to get up here and sing Islands in the Stream, or somebody that's so good that you're like, you should move to New York right now.
But even when someone's so good, you're just like, oh, I wish you were doing this professionally. Oh, it makes me sad that this dream died for you.
There was a young woman in Tahiti who would sing at the Blue Banana when I was out there.
Of course.
She sung there multiple places. I saw her, and she was young, a beautiful Polynesian woman, probably early 20s, and she could sing The Lights Out. And there was so, left her alone, obviously, but there's so big a part of me that wanted to be like, hey, go give it a try.
Yeah.
Go to the States. But I also, maybe she just cleans up singing at the Hilton and whatever and the Blue Banana.
Right.
But she was awesome. I was like, you should be singing. You need to meet The Rock. He's going to put you in something. There was a karaoke machine there for a time, and on one notable Sunday afternoon, whilst trying to enjoy our garden with friends, we had to instead listen to a couple blaring out Islands in the Stream over and over, deluded in thinking they were Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. The over and over. I mean, how many times did they sing this, and are they
just
drunk British people? Yes, they probably were. The council refused phase planning application. The case officer dealing with the complaint said the area where the tents have been located is in a part of the garden close to nearby residential properties. The tents are constructed of a thin canvas material and therefore lack soundproofing. Faye, who described herself as a born and bred New Forest girl. That's a cool way to describe mm-hmm. yourself. I'm going to describe myself as a born and bred
New Forest girl.
There he is. There's my friend over there, a born and bred New Forest girl, Kurt Brownler. With a genuine love for the area and the people who live here, declined to comment. And that's it. So, yeah, it sounds like the secret garden glamping is going away.
Oh, my God.
Out of Hampshire.
Well, that reminds me, before we wrap this episode up, mm-hmm. This is one thing I did want to mention. It's not enough to do a full thing on, but for my Jersey Bananimals... This is so insane. You've heard me talk about Six Flags Great Adventure drive-through safari.
One of the greatest, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
some
there's
of your
a,
best stories.
They are opening a glamping resort inside the drive-through safari at Six Flags.
Wow, this can't go well.
No, there's 1,200 animals that live there. This was, I found this on Blue Loop.
Oh, you found this on Blue Loop? You were just, you know, you woke up, you powered up your iPad, it opened to your favorite website.
B-L-O-O-L-O-O-P, Blue Loop, blueloop.com. And yeah, so Savannah Sunset Resort and Spa is set to open this summer. And it's like, tent tops on, I mean, what? And there's animals right there. It's like animals. I mean, already these animals are getting, like, you're already driving cars through where they live. Now you're going to have
a
little house.
Windshield wipers off.
They,
so good luck with your outdoor shower, pal.
They do it every single time.
Yeah.
That's so insane. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that since it was a glamping
story. Well, they should go. What you're saying is our bananimals, even though we think this is a near death,
you gotta
should
stay.
Go and glamp there.
Oh,
yeah, somebody glamp there and report
know.
Back.
I want to know. Well, thank you so much, Scotty. Thank you to everyone listening to the bananas.
We love you guys. Send in whatever you want. We'll see everybody when we go on tour. We might be adding a couple more dates this spring and summer, but thanks for the unending and increasing and growing support. We love doing the podcast.
Bananas!
Bananas.
Bananas is an Exactly Right Media production.
Our producer and engineer is Katie Levine.
The catchy Bananas theme song was composed and performed by Kahan.
Artwork for Bananas was designed by Travis Millard.
And our benevolent overlords are the great Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark.
And Lisa Maggot is our full human, not a robot intern.
Bananas.